Title: FX Tales That Stop Before the Drop Advanced. All right, welcome back. This is an advanced drum and bass workflow in Ableton Live, and the mission is super specific. We want huge, cinematic build-up effects, but we want them to stop before the drop so the first kick and snare hit like a brick. Because in DNB, a clean drop is everything. You can have the nastiest bass patch on earth, but if a reverb tail is still hanging over the first transient, the drop instantly feels smaller, softer, and kind of amateur. So today we're going to build a repeatable pre-drop FX control setup, dedicated returns, tight filtering, send automation, drop trigger ducking, and a little micro gap that makes the drop feel like it kicks the door in. Let's set this up the way pros do it. Routing first. Step 0. Prep the session. In your Ableton set, identify anything that exists mainly to build tension into the drop. Risers, noise sweeps, impacts, vocal throws, snare fills, weird atmospheric one-shots. Take those source tracks and put them into a group. Name the group PRE Drop FX. This becomes your little control center. Now create two return tracks. Return A, name it FX Verb. Return B, name it FX Delay. Teacher note here, returns are perfect in DNB because multiple build elements sharing the same reverb and delay makes the whole build feel glued together. And then, when you kill that shared space right before the drop, everything tightens up at once. That contrast is the magic. Step 1. Build a controlled reverb return on return A. First device, EQ8. Put it at the very start. Do a high-pass filter, 24 dB per octave. Start around 300 Hz, and feel free to push it up into the 350 to 400 range if your mix is dense. The main idea is, the reverb return should not own any low-end. Low-end reverb is basically drop sabotage. If the reverb gets aggressive in the presence area, do a small dip, maybe 2 to 4 dB, somewhere around 2 to 4 kHz. Don't overdo it, just to spike it. Next, add hybrid reverb. You can use the classic reverb too, but hybrid is great. Choose hall or plate. For build-ups in DND, longer tails often feel better, so set decay somewhere like 2.5 seconds up to 5.5 seconds depending on how epic you want it. Set pre-delay to around 15 to 30 milliseconds. That pre-delay matters. It helps your original transient stay readable, so your uplifters and snare fills don't get instantly smeared. Size can be big, 80 to 120%. And because this is a return, the mix should be 100% wet. After that, add auto filter for tension control. Set it to low past 24 dB. Then automate the cutoff as you approach the drop. Maybe it starts wide open around 12 kHz and slowly closes down toward 1.5 to 3 kHz. Add a touch of resonance, like 10 to 20%, just enough to feel the sweep. Last in the chain for now, put utility. Widen it, 120 to 160% can feel massive in the build. But keep an eye on your level, because wide reverbs can feel louder than they are. Keep the gain conservative. So return is now, EQ to keep it clean, reverb to make it huge, filter to build tension, utility to widen. Step 2. Build a tempo sync delay return on return B. Add echo. Set the time to something that rolls, try 1/4 note, or 1/8 dotted. 1/8 dotted is a classic for DNB, because it creates that forward tumble without sounding like a pop slapback. Feedback around 35 to 55%. Then filter inside echo, high pass around 250 to 500 Hz and low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. Again, no subby delay mud, no fizzy delay hiss. Add a tiny bit of modulation, like 2 to 8%, just to keep the repeats from ringing metallic. Because it's a return, keep echo mix at 100%. After echo, add saturator. Drive it gently, like 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. This is one of those little pro moves. It keeps repeats audible in the mix without you needing to crank the return level, and it helps the delay read on smaller speakers. Then add EQ8 after saturator to clean anything that got edgy. If it's harsh, cut a bit around 3 to 5 kHz. And if you want the delay to feel safely behind the drop, you can low pass it a little more. Cool! Now we've got a reverb space and a delay space that are already designed to be drop safe, because they're band limited. Now the core concept of the whole lesson. Step 3. The simplest and most reliable tail stop. Automate the sends. Go back to your build-up source tracks inside PRE Drop FX. Automate the send knobs going to return A and return B. During the build-up, send normally. As a rough starting point, maybe your reverb send is around minus 12 to minus 6 dB depending on the sound, and the delay send may be around minus 12 dB. Trust your ears. Then, in the final moment before the drop, ramp those sends down to minus infinity. Here's the key teacher concept. We are not chopping the return audio. We're stopping the input into the effect early, so the tail naturally completes before the drop arrives. Timing-wise, in drum and bass, stopping the feed 1/8 note before the drop is a really reliable starting point. If you want it snappier and more aggressive, stop 1/16th before. If the build is super busy, stopping earlier can actually make the drop feel bigger. And I want you to think of it as creating a vacuum, a pocket of air right before the drop, even a tiny one, like 1/16th to 1/8th note of less space. That silence is contrast, and contrast is impact. Quick coaching tip. Don't only think in cutoffs, think in handoffs. A convincing tail stop often feels like the mix hands off from wide and wash to narrow and dry in the last beat. So while you're dropping the send, you can automate one reality anchor on the source. For example, take a utility on the PRE drop FX group and automate width from something like 140% down toward 0 to 30% over the final 1/8 note. And at the same time, you can raise the dry level just a tiny bit, like 0.5 dB to 1.5 dB, while the send falls. The listener still feels continuity, but the space disappears. Okay, but sometimes, even if you stop feeding the return, you've got a long decay that's still ringing. So let's move into the more surgical methods. Step 4. Harder control, gating the returns. On return A and return B, at a gate at the end of the chain, start threshold around minus 30 dB and adjust. Attack super fast, like 0.1 to 1 millisecond. Hold minimal, like 0 to 30 ms. Release maybe 30 to 120 ms. Shorter release is a harder stop, longer is smoother. Now, important reality check. A gate is not naturally designed to close on drop when you sidechain it, because sidechaining a gate typically opens it when the sidechain signal hits. So I treat the gate more as a cleanup tool for residual noise and rumble on the return, not as the main tail killer. The best close-on-drop solution is actually ducking. Step 5. Sidechain ducking on the returns. This is the industry standard. On return A and return B, insert a compressor at the end of each chain, after everything else. Enable sidechain. Now you have two main options for the sidechain input. Option 1. Sidechain from your kick. That means the returns will keep ducking rhythmically through the drop, which can be cool, but it might change the vibe. Option 2, and the advanced clean drop option. Use a drop trigger. A single trigger hit exactly on the first moment of the drop, just to shove the tail out of the way of the first transient. Let's do the drop trigger method. Create a MIDI track called Drop Trig. Load a short click sample, or use operator with a tiny sine blip. Make it super short. Then either turn the track volume down, or route it so you don't actually hear it. The point is to control dynamics, not to add sound. Program one MIDI note exactly on the drop. Bar 1, beat 1 of the drop section. If you want extra safety, you can add a second trigger on beat 2, but start with 1. Now on the compressor on the return, set sidechain input to drop trig. Set ratio somewhere like 6:1 up to 10:1. Attack fast, 0.3 to 2 ms. Release, 30 to 120 ms depending on the groove. Faster feels more neuro and clipped. Slower feels more rolling and musical. Then lower the threshold until you hear the returns get shoved down at the drop moment you're aiming for. Build feels huge. Drop first hit is completely unclouded. Extra pro move, two-stage ducking. If you want the cleanest possible first transient and also a tidy first bar, use two compressors in series on the return. Compressor 1 is the fast clamp, triggered by the drop click. Ultra-fast attack, short release. Compressor 2 is gentle, triggered by the kick pattern. Slower attack, longer release. It tucks the space behind the drums without that exaggerated pumping. Now let's talk about the secret sauce. Step 6. The micro gap arrangement trick. Even if your effects are perfectly controlled, the drop hits harder when there's a tiny moment of nothing. 1/16th or 1/8th note before the drop. Mute the riser and noise group, stop the sends, and let the mix inhale for a split second. And if you want to get fancy, you can automate a high pass on a pre-drop bus slightly upward right before that gap, then snap it back at the drop. Don't overdo it, because you can thin your whole mix, but a subtle suck-in is classic. Also understand, the pre-drop pocket is a mix decision too, not just arrangement. If you don't want to literally mute, you can reduce competing energy. For example, if you've got build drums going, automate drum bus transients down slightly right before the gap, so it feels like the room backs off. Another sneaky move is to automate your limiter input or a gain utility down about 0.5 dB for the last 1/16th, then snap back at the drop. You're not making it quieter overall, you're creating contrast. Step 7. Print your FX tail for total control. This is how you get 100% consistency and it's also how you get those nasty jungle style edits. Create an audio track called FX Print. Set audio from to return A, or use resampling if you want to capture a blend. Record the buildup so you get the tail as pure audio. Now you can do surgical edits, fade it out exactly 1/16th before the drop, reverse a chunk into the drop, stutter it, time stretch it, pitch it down, whatever. And if you do hard stops on printed audio, avoid clicks. Don't just cut. Use short equal power fades like 2 to 10 milliseconds. If the tail has heavy low mid content, use a longer fade like 10 to 30 milliseconds to avoid a little thump artifact. Now, let's address common mistakes so you don't waste time. Mistake 1. Letting reverb keep low end. Anything below roughly 200 to 400 Hz on returns is going to blur your drop. High pass early. Mistake 2. Stopping tails exactly on the drop. That usually still smears the first transient. Stop before 1/16th to 1/8th note early is the zone. Mistake 3. Widening returns like crazy and never narrowing them. The build gets huge, but then the drop feels smaller by comparison. Automate width down pre-drop. Mistake 4. Sidechaining to the full kick pattern by accident when you only wanted the first hit. Your whole drop starts breathing. Sometimes cool, sometimes completely wrong. Mistake 5. Ignoring pre-delay. Without it, your reverb masks air fills and riser transients. Pre-delay is clarity. Let's add a few dark, heavy DNB pro tips. Try band limiting the FX hard. High pass 350 to 600 Hz, low pass 6 to 8 kHz. That makes a foggy space that won't hiss or fight the drop. Try distorting the tail before you duck it. Roar is great if you have it, or saturator and overdrive. Put that distortion before your ducking compressor so you get gnarly character, but it still disappears cleanly. Try the Neuro Room collapse trick. Automate reverb decay from long to short across the final bar, like 5 seconds down to 1.2 seconds. It literally feels like the room is shrinking as you approach the drop. This audio version is shortened for playback.